Please open your Bibles with me to Luke 18. Luke 18 is where we'll be this evening. I hope everyone's memorization of Psalm 1 is going well. I've already had two individuals to complete it. Matt, are you 25? Is that correct? Matt is 25? Say what? Almost 25. Okay, so you're nearly 25. Matt has gotten Psalm 1. So we have one of our members who's 25 and done it, but also one of our older members, George Amos, who is 80, has also completed it. So for those of you who told me I'm too old to do this, no, you're not. You can do it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I saw some mouths moving. I'm glad to see that. I am making a list and checking it twice come September. So be ready. And I will just also respond to Terry's email collectively. Terry, if you didn't get a chance to see it, he's recognized that I gave the congregation a challenge of memorizing one. So I should be challenged by making the congregation a pie for our next potluck. So if everyone does it, I will make a homemade apple and a homemade pumpkin pie come our next, I think it'll be fall time then, come our next potluck. And they'll be good with homemade crust and everything. So we'll get to work, people. Let it motivate you. You can do it. I have confidence in you. All right. What I want to do this evening is go into Luke 18 and look at a story of Jesus. Jesus tells a parable that I think is going to supplement some of the ideas that we looked at this morning in a lesson I've just entitled, Not Like Them. This morning we went into the book of Proverbs to examine what our attitude toward instruction should be. Connecting back to Dan Langford's series on growth from the month of March, we went back to some of those concepts and looked at them from a different perspective, recognizing that we should always be learning, that we should always long for instruction, that the wise are ultimately the ones who are humble in their knowledge and in their self-examination, whereas the scoffer is the one who is boastful and haughty and built up in his ways. We need to be the wise man who needs instruction and recognizes need rather than the scoffer who thinks he has no more need. Coming to these conclusions, then, we recognize we have need for learning. And as we as Christians get much of our learning through the Word of God, how do we read the Word of God properly so that we get the proper instruction out of it? The question that Jesus is going to deal with in this parable, and I really want to read it in context, is how do we become righteous in the eyes of God? I think what we're going to see is there's a connection between proper methods of Bible study, proper methods of instruction and learning, to the methods of righteousness that Jesus has given in his gospel. So going into Luke 18, we're going to read a parable that Jesus gives. In Luke 18, beginning in verse 9, this is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. So Luke 18, beginning in verse 9, Jesus told them this parable to some who trusted. And let me restart that. I got a couple of the words mixed up. Luke 18, beginning in verse 9. He told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes up to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. In this case, Jesus is telling a parable about two men. The first is a tax collector. The tax collector is in the second part of the story, and he is the one who goes to God and he proclaims, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. On the other hand, you had the Pharisee. The Pharisees does not say, God, be merciful, but he says, God, I thank you that I am not like these. Here you have two completely different men of different backgrounds, of different upbringing, of different cultures, but also different mindsets. You have on the one hand, the tax collector who cannot even raise his eyes up to heaven out of his own humility and praise, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. But then you have the Pharisee who says, God, I thank you that I am not like these. Which one does Jesus call us to be? Should we as his people be the tax collector, or should we be the Pharisee? I think perhaps if you're thinking back to this morning, you're already seeing some connections to the wise man and the scoffer. We'll flesh those out more in a minute, but keep those in your mind. Well, let's go first of all into the tax collector. The tax collector, beginning in Luke 18, verse 13, says, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes up to heaven. Now let's stop here for a moment. Why is he journeying? You'll notice in verse 10, two men went into the temple to pray. These are both religious men. This is not a man of the world and a man of the synagogue, perhaps a man of the church, a man of the synagogue. These are two religious men who are going to pray and going ultimately to the synagogue, going to the temple. So they're two religious people. But on the one hand, you have the Pharisee who is externally religious, but this tax collector who you wouldn't think is religious, he says, standing far off, he would not even lift his eyes up to heaven, but beat his breast saying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Now, in your translations, if it has a sinner, use your pencil or your blue pen and mark that out. That should say the sinner. He is referencing, I am the sinner. And his attitude is one of recognition that I am the sinner in the eyes of God. And because of his wrongdoing and because of what he's done, he knows he needs God's mercy. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Well, here's what I want to ask. How did he view himself and how did he view other people? Well, his view of himself was as one of the sinner. He viewed himself as one recognizing that he had done wrong, that he had committed evil, that he had transgressed against his God, and because of that, he needed the mercy of God. Keep your fingers here. Let's go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 tells the heart-wrenching story of David after he has committed his sin with Bathsheba. Nathan the prophet has come to him and has admonished him for his wrongdoing. And upon recognizing his guilt, he is going to go to God in what is the greatest example of penitence anywhere in Scripture in Psalm 51. Psalm 51, beginning in verse 1. Note again how David sees himself. Have mercy on me, O God, beginning in verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sin is ever before you. Against you, you only have I sinned and have done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. How does David see himself? David does not see himself as the one who's justified. He sees himself as the sinner. Verse 3, my Lord, I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned. I want to focus on that just for a second. You think about this story. Against you, you only have I sinned. That's a hyperbole. Think about the story of David and Bathsheba. Who else had David sinned against? I see some mouths. Uriah. David had killed a man. But in recognizing his guilt and in recognizing his wrongdoing, hyperbolically he's claiming, only against God have I sinned. My sin against God is so grave that I need His mercy and I need His forgiveness. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. How does David see himself? David sees himself not as a sinner, but as the sinner against the holy God of heaven. Now, I asked a few moments ago, which one should we be like? Should we be like the Pharisee or the tax collector? Hopefully, you've had time to think through it now and recognize, yes, the exemplar, the one that we need to be like in this story, is we need to be like the tax collector. But hold on. Jesus is telling us that we need to be sinners? I mean, you think through this. Wouldn't it make more sense for Jesus to tell us that we need to be the religious people in the story? We need to be like the Pharisee who, I mean, he hasn't done that much wrong. I mean, you take tax collectors in the first century. We all hate the IRS. I know that. Taxation is theft, any good libertarian will tell you. And when you look at first century tax collection, it was completely different. It was not just coming after your money, but it oftentimes involved force, it involved compulsion, it involved violence, perhaps even murder. Tax collectors were truly the dirt and scum of the earth. So when a tax collector goes to God and says, God, be merciful on me, the sinner, why is Jesus telling us we need to be like the tax collector? Why do we need to be like David, who committed adultery and killed a man? Well, I would recommend the principle of the story is not that we need to be like them in behavior, but we need to be like them in attitude. The attitude and the self-identity, the view that the tax collector and also David had of themselves was one of the sinner. Each of us need to come to the existential realization that I am a sinner. Period. I am a sinner. Before I was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, I was a sinner. And based just on my works, based just on my wrongdoing, I am a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I come before you this very admitting, I'm a sinner. I am the sinner who has sinned against my God, and because of my transgression, Jesus Christ had to die upon the cross. I'm the sinner. We need to view ourselves likewise. I am the sinner. Go back to the text with me. The second question I want to ask is this then. What view did the tax collector have of other people? This is a sharp contrast in these two people. Again, he viewed himself properly. He properly saw himself as the sinner. How did he view others? There's nothing mentioned here. His focus was not on everyone else. His focus was not on the wrongdoing of other people. His focus was not on the sins of people who was worse than his. His focus was on himself. You'll notice in this small detail even in the text. The tax collector standing far off would not even lift his eyes up to heaven, but beat his breast saying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. If he cannot even bring himself to look up at God, what does that mean in the text? The image here is he is just so overwhelmed with what he has done to his God. He beats his breast for what he's done, and he is so overwhelmed by his grief. God, forgive me, the sinner. He's focused on himself. He's focused on his own wrongdoing. He's focused on his own transgression. And because he properly sees himself, he has the proper penitent attitude that is then going to lead to his exaltation. You'll notice verse 14 at the end. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Why does he go down justified? Because whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. He humbled himself enough to see himself as the sinner. Using the proverbial words that we use this morning, he's a wise man. He's a wise man who is not haughty. He's not the scoffer who's built up in his pride, in his own arrogance, but he is the wise man who sees his limitations, who sees his wrongdoings, who sees his errors, and because of looking inward and seeing himself properly, he then sees himself as the sinner. Expressed another way, I would recommend this. His introspection allowed him to see his own need for God's mercy. The concept of introspection means that you are looking intro, into yourself. You are introspective. This is a quality that we as Christians must develop. For us to be exalted, we first must humble ourselves. For us to get to a level of humility, that first necessitates that we have a proper introspectiveness about us. The tax collector was introspective. He saw his own sin. He saw his wrongdoing. He saw what he had done. And because he was able to view himself properly, he then came to a proper knowledge of seeing God's mercy. We need to be introspective. Well, this is quite different from the Pharisee. The Pharisee, you'll note in the text, going back to verse 10, two men went out from the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector. How does he view himself? Well, again, note what he says. It's not, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. It's, God, I thank you that I am not like these other men. This tax collector is a violent, cruel, evil man. But I give my tithes, I give my contributions. I'm the religious one in the story. What was his problem? Again, let's consider what is his view of himself and what is his view of other people. His view of himself was one of self-righteousness. Again, notice the text. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I've not done any of the bad sins. I've not done any of the really bad stuff. But rather, I fast twice a week. Even under the Levitical law, y'all know this now from Leviticus 16, they did not have to fast twice a week. They had to fast once a year. This, even in first century Judaism, was seen as an extreme measure, an extreme example of piousness. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. I'm good. But he was self-righteous. Using the words from this morning, he's a scoffer. He is so built up in his own works. He is so built up in his own righteousness. He is so built up on how great he thinks that he is that he cannot properly view himself as he really is. You'll notice just a bit later in Luke 18, down to verse 18, this is the story of the rich young ruler. This was the theme for the congregation last year, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. But I think in the context of Luke 18, Jesus provides the story of the rich young ruler as an example, as a further example of this Pharisee. Luke 18, 18. A ruler asked Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? None is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. And he said, all these I've done from my youth. We're just going to stop there in the story. All these I've done. I am self-righteous. I'm righteous. Just tell me what else I need to do. Now, Randy pointed out for us, I think in November of 2015, what he was lacking was he needed to follow Jesus. That's what he was really lacking. He needed to follow Jesus. But in the context of the story, he could not see that. The rich young ruler was a scoffer. He did not view himself properly. And because of that, how did he then view other people? He then viewed other people as sinful. Again, think back to the tax collector. The tax collector was so distraught over his own guilt, he was introspective. The Pharisee, on the other hand, is so haughty and so self-righteous that he's focused on everyone else's wrongdoing. I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Now, brethren, let's just stop here for a moment. This is a text that has been challenging to me as a Christian. And I mean challenging. Because ultimately here's his problem. Whereas the tax collector was introspective, he's extrospective. His extrospection distorted his view of himself and ultimately did not allow him to see his own need for God's mercy. He is so extrospective, so focused on everyone else, that he cannot even see his own need for the mercy of God. Now, brethren, here's the challenge that I've wrestled with, and I continue to wrestle with. Do I have a proper view of myself? Do I see myself properly in the eyes of God? Far too often, this is how I've seen myself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I've never cheated on my wife. I've never had a drop of alcohol. I've never done drugs. I've never killed anybody. I've never cheated the IRS. I mean, I've not done any of the bad stuff. I'm good. If I make that mistake, I am just as guilty as the Pharisee. The way that I need to view myself properly is I need to see myself as the sinner. Brethren, I think if far too many of us put ourselves in this situation, here's perhaps what we would say. Jesus, I thank you that I am not like these other men, like the extortioners and the murderers and the adulterers and the cheaters. I come to services 3 times a week. I wear the right clothes. I say the right things. I give my contribution. And I'm not like other men. If you do not view yourself as the sinner, you do not view yourself properly in the eyes of God. Period. You're a scoffer. The one in the story who is exalted is the one who humbles himself. For me, if I do not see myself as the sinner, but I boast myself up and think my own righteousness is based on my own great piousness, I completely have distorted my view of myself. And because of that, I miss completely my need for the mercy of God. Brethren, whenever we read the text, are we introspective? Are we extrospective? I'm afraid too often we're extrospective. I'm going to give one real life example from this congregation. A few weeks ago, as we went into Leviticus chapters 8 through 10 and studied the story of Nadab and Abihu, I asked, spent the last about 5-10 minutes of class, what are the applications that we need to make? What are the applications that I need to make? They abound in that story. I mean, if you read the story properly, I am overwhelmed by the glory of God, about the need for my own attitude, my own life, my own spirit to be pure and holy in the eyes of God. And there are so many aspects of my own life that I need to work on before I come before the holy, glorious God of heaven. And that story should certainly remind us of that need. But brethren, when I asked, what are the applications that we need to make? I heard 4 straight answers that did not concern us one little bit. They had to do with every other religious group out there, but did not have to do with what we need to do properly. How are we reading the text? Were we reading it introspectively or extrospectively? We need to read it introspectively. I am vastly aware that preachers perhaps are far to at fault at this. It tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, Paul commanded Timothy, take heed to yourself and to your teaching. Preachers must be introspective. Whenever I come before you as I do this very moment, considering the ways of God, considering the teachings of His Scripture, and considering our very lives before God, I need to see myself properly in the eyes of God. I need to see myself as a sinner in the eyes of God. I need to see myself as a worthless worm of this earth whose meaning only comes from the saving blood of Jesus Christ and from the loving grace that He's given to me. And praise be to my holy God that He has given me meaning and substance and value in His eyes because of His grace. Not because of my own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Christ. But brethren, what do? Preachers far too often love to talk about everyone else. We love to talk about everyone else and everyone else's problems. Some of you have begged me, not begged, but have asked me over and over again for months, give me sermons that tell us how we are right and how everyone else is wrong. Take heed to yourself and to your teaching. How, as a preacher of God, can I do that in the sight of my God? My focus needs to be on my own way before God. I need to be introspective. If it means that there are false ideas that we need to combat as the time comes, certainly we must. Titus 1, verse 13 following, he tells that very vehemently. But our focus as we read the Word of God, and our focus as we come to know Him, and our focus as we come to see Jesus Christ must be introspective. We must first ask, what is the application and what is the change that I need to make, or I am no better than the Pharisee? You'll notice again the warning at the end of verse 14. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Brethren, in our study, in our preaching, in our thinking, in our lives, are we like the Pharisee or are we like the tax collector? Far too often I've been like the Pharisee. I have been like the Pharisee who likes to boast my own self up based on artificial aspects of life, based on artificial aspects of holiness, and completely forget the fact that I am a sinner saved by the grace of God. And it is only because of His grace, only because of the cross of Jesus Christ, that I have value in the sight of my God. I need to be like the tax collector who throws myself upon the altar of God and know that I need His mercy, I need His grace, and I need His love. Let us be like the tax collector. Now, let me give this warning before I change slides. You may be sitting in your seat thinking, well, I know a few other people in this congregation who need to be more introspective. I know some other denominations that need to be introspective. I know some other groups that need to be introspective. If that is your thought, you are no better than the Pharisee, quite frankly. You're missing the whole point of the teaching of Jesus Christ. The teaching of introspective is in of itself introspective. The teaching of self-examination is inherently self-examinatory. We must look inward in this text. We must look inward in this application. And we must see ourselves properly in the eyes of God. And we must see ourselves as the sinner. My question is then this. If we want to view ourselves properly, and if we want to view others properly, what then must we do? Well, the only way for us to do this is we have to look to Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 10 together. Romans chapter 10. Notice various similarities in this text. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Let's just stop there before we go to verse 4. What was the problem of the Jews? Here he's talking about the Jews who did not obtain grace through faith in the Old Covenant. In chapter 9:31 following, he shows so clearly they did not seek the old law by faith. But rather what they did was they made themselves self-righteous. Self-righteous. Okay? Being ignorant, verse 3, of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Brethren, are we any better at times? If, just finish this sentence for me in your head. I am righteous because. Just finish it in your head. I am righteous because. If you filled in that sentence with anything other than the saving grace of Jesus Christ, you're making the same mistake as the Pharisee. We are not righteous inherently because we are so pious or devout or great. Rather, it is because of our own great weakness and failing that we are so great, that we are exalted. Because our great weakness has exemplified the holy grace of God. Verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes. If I want to develop a proper view of myself and a proper view of everyone else, I need to look to Christ. Until I have attained the righteousness of Christ, I have room to be introspective. Until I have reached the fullness of His grace and knowledge, I have room to be introspective. I need to grow to be like Christ. Christ is the end of the law of righteousness. The reason that we are able to be righteous is because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because, and this is the whole argument of the book of Romans. Romans 1 through 3 explains that all have sinned. 4 through 6 then exemplify, because all have sinned, we needed God's mercy. And then picking up back in chapter 5 through verse chapter 8, he shows God gave His mercy through Jesus Christ. We are able to be righteous. We are able to be justified. Using the words of Luke 18, 14, we are able to be exalted because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We need to look to Christ. Brethren, if I compare my own righteousness based on everyone else around me, I am going to fail miserably on the day of judgment. Miserably. I can find anyone of this life who's a bigger sinner than I am. In quantity of sin, not in quality of sin. In quality of sin, I am the sinner. But in quantity of sin, sure. I could find many people who've sinned more frequently than I have, who are having greater life sentences in prison than I hopefully will ever get. But if I don't see myself properly as the sinner, if I don't see myself properly, am an introspective, I've lost completely the concept of God's righteousness. Brethren, we need to be introspective. If I compare myself to men, sure, I can boast myself up. I can boast myself up and exalt myself and make myself hunky-dory because of all the great things that I do. And brethren, I would recommend, if we are going to compare ourselves to everyone else, whoever that idealistic everyone else may be, sure, there's certain areas where we do fine. And we're exalted, we're great. But whenever I compare myself to Jesus Christ, who lived a sinless, perfect life, who when reviled but did not revile in return, who shed His own blood for a worthless humanity, man, I have room to grow. Only way that I am able to be righteous is by the righteous and perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So then, how does the concept of proper Bible reading methods and justification connect? Well, I would recommend this. Brethren, we need to look to Christ, and then He will exalt us. So, here's my recommendation. We become righteous in God's eyes only when we lose self-righteousness. Get out your songbooks, please. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. I quoted New King James earlier, but ESV says it this way. Keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Brethren, I ask you, help me to keep a close watch on myself and on my teaching. And I do not mean this sarcastically in the least bit. But if you're sitting there and you're truly wondering, I really don't know how else I need to grow. I really don't know what else I need to do. I really think I'm good. Ask me or one of our shepherds and we'll be happy to tell you. And I don't mean that sarcastically at all. Each of us stumble. Each of us have sins that we must overcome. Each of us need to be like Christ. And because of that, and because of his perfect righteousness, we need to help each other to be introspective. And we need to encourage one another and build one another up, that we may then be like Christ, that we may live in his glory, and that we may live in his image. Let us not be like the Pharisee who boasted himself up. Let us be like the tax collector. Not in action, but in attitude. When I read this story in Luke 18, probably about 5 years ago now, I sat there ashamed of myself. Ashamed. Because so often I had read God's word and God forgive me. I had preached sermons that were so extrospective and so mean and vengeful that I had never stopped to take a close watch to myself. In attitude, let us never be like the Pharisee. Let us be like the tax collector. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. If you need to humble yourselves even in the waters of baptism and come to Jesus this very night, come while we stand and sing.